significantly impact your life to you today that I honestly believe has the potential to significantly impact your life in the year ahead of us, the rest of 2018. Now, I got to tell you a little bit of the background of this message and kind of where it came from. This is a book that I have and that I've been reading. I'm not recommending this book, so don't get me wrong, but one of the things that I really enjoy is reading about other people's habits, other people's, the things that they've kind of grabbed onto in their lives that they feel has helped them continue down the pathway of fulfilling what their lives are about. This is by Tim Ferriss. I don't know how many of you know who he is. Here's where I am in the book. I'm about halfway through, and I picked it up actually in an airport a couple of years ago and was looking at it while I was waiting for a flight. And then I read an article by Pastor Craig Rochelle, and the article really touched me deeply. And quite honestly, I've added this habit that I'm going to share with you today. Let's call it a discipline, a spiritual discipline, because I believe our spiritual lives are built upon disciplines, things that we place in our lives that help us to grow more day by day like Jesus. Amen? And, Amen? This one has been transformative for me. This one has helped me overcome challenges. This one has helped me to really flourish in my mind and in my thinking and in my approach to ministry and to life and to my family and to really everything has been touched and challenged and changed through this habit. So I want to share with you today. And quite honestly, I've been marinating on this for a long time. What I mean by that is I didn't want to preach this prematurely. I wanted to let it be in my life for a season. In fact, I started this probably close to 2 years ago now. And I've had it in the back of my mind all that time that one day I want to share this with you. But I didn't want to share it prematurely. I wanted to see if it impacted my life. And if it did, then absolutely I wanted to bring it to you. And that's why I'm bringing it today. It's the last in our series called Seek First. That's our theme for the year. And I want to call it Words to Live By. Words to Live By. See, I'm a lot like you. Sometimes things are challenging. I know all of you would probably say, if I were to ask you the question personally this morning, in your context, in your job, in your family, it can be really challenging at times. How many of you would say yes to that? It can be in mine too. I really understand when Paul says in Corinthians, there's a chapter there in Corinthians that I relate to so much. He talks about all the things he's gone through, and a lot of them are pretty devastating things like being shipwrecked and floating out in the ocean and being stoned. But then at the culmination of the list, almost the thing that's above everything else that he's walked through and suffered through and been challenged by is the daily needs of the church. Just that emotional and physical weight that he bears and carries with him constantly. And I don't mean in any way, shape, or form to be a whiner. I don't consider myself a whiner. But the pastoring of this church can at times be significantly challenging. Not only do I have the responsibility of being your pastor, and I want to be the best I possibly can, and loving you, encouraging you, helping you to become all that God wants you to be, but God's also given me the privilege and opportunity to watch out over other pastors. This week I was in Columbus, Ohio, met with five different groups of pastors, got two invitations to go preach in Columbus, which I wasn't looking for. I met with two different sets of Hispanic pastors, one from Honduras, one from Colombia. I met with two brothers from Nepal. Boy, that was fun. They hardly spoke any English. We had quite an interesting meeting at Starbucks with those guys. I met with a new pastor in Mount Vernon, Ohio, who's doing a great job. I met with another pastor in Marysville, Ohio, who's brand new to his pastorate and came to find out that he's the son of a good friend of mine. I didn't even know that. It was pretty neat. But the emotional challenges, the spiritual challenges, the physical challenges, sometimes get me to the place where, quite honestly, I begin to think things like this. I don't know if I can keep carrying that weight. It's a lot of weight to bear at times. At times, if you're going through something, if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, if there's been a crisis in your life, sometimes I feel that very deeply with you. And sometimes when you multiply that by a couple of hundred people, it can be overwhelming at times. But I want to tell you, this discipline has helped me. It's brought some changes into my heart and my life that have been very helpful to me. And it's renewed my thinking in a way. It seems like my mic has changed a little bit. Did you adjust something, Landon? If you can put it back how it was, I liked where it was. It's not changed what I do, but it's changed how I think. Now, I want to say that again. I want you to get the gravity of that. Because the challenges that I'm facing, they're not different. In fact, they're probably greater. That hasn't changed, but the way I think has changed. And because I think differently, listen, the load doesn't seem as difficult. It doesn't seem as burdensome. It doesn't seem as difficult. And some of you are going to say, yeah, right, you know, you're talking about changing your mind and that kind of thing. I've heard that kind of stuff before. Others of you are leaning in and going, hey, this is great. Bring it because I need this. I hope that's where you're at because our thoughts matter. They really do. And in Freedom in Christ, we taught for years and years, you cannot behave other than the way you believe. Your beliefs really frame your life. Your beliefs really determine how you live out every single day of your life. So I want to say right now that your thoughts matter more than you can even imagine. And I want to give you something to write down today that if you will dwell on this, think about this, grab hold of this today, it'll make all the difference. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our lives move literally in the very direction of our strongest thoughts. Whatever you are thinking about, however you're thinking about yourself, the thoughts that you allow to stream through your mind, they are heading you in a definite direction. Now, it's interesting, the word repentance in the New Testament, the word metanoia, it literally means to change your mind. You change your mind in order to follow God. And here's what it basically means. It's not just, I'm sorry for my sin, God. No, it's, God, I'm going to line my thoughts up now with your thoughts. Your truth is going to be the guiding light of my life. I'm going to go in a different path because I'm going to line my thoughts up with your thoughts from this day forward. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. You mark that down and you can take it to the bank, church. Your life's moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Let me kind of break it down for you. Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. If your thoughts are full of faith, if your thoughts are full of God's truth, then you are probably going to become inevitably more like Christ every single day. But if your thoughts are negative, if your thoughts are toxic, if they are polluted, I promise you, you're going to really struggle to live in victory. I promise you, you will struggle in your actions because quite honestly, if you will evaluate it honestly, transparently, your thoughts are far from God's truth. And you're allowing something other than God's truth to direct the path of your life. You know, we can say all day long, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, and think we're heading in the path God wants for us. But if we're sitting here thinking, I'm a failure, I'm not loved, I'm not accepted, I'm really not worth anything, I ought to go ahead and end this life because it's useless. I don't have anything to give anymore. If that's our thinking, listen, we can say all day long we're a Christian, but we're not heading in the direction God would want us to head in. We're heading in a different direction. Our thoughts, our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Powerful passage that quite honestly has impacted my way of thinking and my way of thinking about thinking. Okay? My way of thinking about thinking and how important the thoughts that I think really are. So I want you to look at it with me today. And it says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, what do they think about, church? They think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that what? That please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. I want you to think about that with me this morning. Your thoughts determine greatly the fruitfulness, the peacefulness, the joy of your life. Your thoughts might be doing more right now to hinder you from what God's called you to do than any other thing. You might blame it on the circumstances around you, but in reality, it's probably right here between your ears. The battlefield for every Christian is in their mind, isn't it? So, your inner dialogue, it matters so much. I don't know how many of you talk to yourselves. How many of you would be brave enough to vote with me this morning that you tend to talk to yourself or you tend to have thoughts that go through your mind, you tend to hear things? Yeah, me too, absolutely. So, I talk to myself all the time. I have an inner dialogue going on, and sometimes my inner dialogue is very pleasing to God. Other times, my inner dialogue can be very destructive. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is your inner dialogue, those thoughts that go through your mind without you even paying attention to it, it just happens, are they sinful? Are they negative? Are they critical? Or would you say, like this scripture said, that your thoughts are controlled by the Spirit of God and are consistent with honoring God in your life? In fact, let me give you just to kind of break it down, try to make this as practical as I possibly can. Let me give you just a couple of different scenarios to help you answer the question. Is your life, your thought life, is it more God-centered or would you say it's more negative-based? Is it more God-centered or would you say, if you're honest, it's negative-based? So let me give you some scenarios. Scenario number one would be the more God-centered way. Okay, you wake up in the morning, okay, and first things that pop into your mind are, man, God is with me. God is for me. My life matters. I've got a great calling. I'm full of faith. My mind's full of life and peace. I've got divine energy to do everything that God has called me to do today. I'm excited about this day today because I'm going to make a difference for the glory of God. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two, which might feel a little more commonplace to some of you. The alarm goes off and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, oh, no. Snooze button, please. Oh, who's that kid pulling on the edge of my bed? Why did we have these kids anyway? Oh my gosh, here we go again. It's morning already. Oh, I just know it's going to be a tough week. So much to do. Do I really have to get out of this bed? I wish I had an extra day in the week. I wish I could take today off. I'm so tired. I don't want to go to my stupid job. I don't want to have to put up with those stupid people. Life's just overwhelming. Whatever I do, I just can't seem to get ahead. Now, I gave you two different scenarios, and maybe they're a little extreme, okay? Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit on both sides. But if you're really honest, what would typify the general dialogue that you have with yourself in your mind? Would it be spirit-controlled thinking? Or would it be rather negative-based if you're quite honest? So I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to ask you a question. The statement is simply this. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That's a true statement. I don't think you can argue with it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you excited? Are you excited about the direction that your thoughts are taking you? Are you excited about the direction that your thoughts are taking you? I got just a little bit of a reverb. If somebody can help me there, just a little bit of a reverb. I don't know. I don't want it to go flat on me, but help me out here, guys, just a little bit. So I'll be honest with you. There have been times in my life I just wasn't happy with my inner dialogue. I wasn't happy with the thoughts that were streaming through my mind. I didn't like my inner dialogue. Let me tell you really honestly what I found myself thinking a lot at times. I found myself thinking, man, I've got a lot to do and I can never seem to ever get it all done. I got a lot to do and I can never seem to get it all done. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I feel overwhelmed. I feel inadequate. I feel like a failure. I had those kind of thoughts just ripple through my mind again and again and again. And then it would culminate in this. I just don't know how long I can keep this up. It's just too overwhelming. That's what I said over and over again. Not proud of it. But if I'm honest, that's what my inner dialogue was. And what I recognized is I needed God to change my thinking. I needed God to do a tune-up up here. I needed God to change my thinking. And if he could change my thinking, that would change a lot about my actions, my feelings, the weight I carried or didn't need to carry. It wouldn't change necessarily what I did, but it would sure change how I thought about what I did. And God helped me change my thinking through this one discipline that I want to share with you today called Words to Live By. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is a verse that for me, it's been one of my favorite verses for a long time. 1 and 2, I absolutely love. They're power-packed verses that will transform your life. So I want you to look at it maybe in a new and a fresh way with me this morning. This is what Paul said. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you. In other words, let God change you. And how's he do that? Read on with me. Let him transform you into a new person by doing what? By changing the way you think. Pastor Doug, do you agree with this? Amen, amen. Thank you, Doug. I told Doug before this morning, I said, you're going to like this message I'm sharing today. So, you know, what I love about this, listen, is this is not me changing me. This isn't just about me having some kind of iron will and forcing myself to become the person I want to be. This isn't just positive thinking stuff. This is God changing me by renewing my mind. By literally putting a stop on the negative lies, casting those things out and replacing them daily with godly truth. This isn't me working to change me. This is me working to align my thoughts with God's thoughts. And when I think God's thoughts, God changes me, not into a better version of me, but really into a new me. I think my wife, she probably would say a big amen to that. I don't know where she is. There she is back there, way back there. She would say, I've got a much better husband today than I ever had in all these 30 years. Because not that, you know, I was some kind of scoundrel, but that Jesus has been changing me. And he's been making me into a better husband. Is that true, honey? Oh, yeah, okay. All right. See, so much of life isn't about what happens to you. But so much of life is how you think about what happens to you. Now, let me say it again, because you really need to embrace this. You got to think about it. It's a fairly heavy thought. It's a powerful thought. It's not just, yeah, something bad can happen to one person, you know, and quite honestly, their reaction is they fall apart. But the very same thing could happen. The very same thing could happen to another person who, in their way of thinking, their way of framing it, their way of processing it, says, you know what? That was tough, that was hard, but in the midst of it, I got closer to God. Because it's not so much about what happens to you, it's really about how you think about what happens to you. Listen, I'll even go a step further. It's the same way with your stress. A lot of us feel so stressed out by life. Life just seems to keep getting busier and busier. Stress is not about how much you have to do. Stress is really about how you think about what you have to do. If you're walking around all the time, get up in the morning thinking, man, I got more than I can ever handle. I got more than I can ever get done. I'm so overwhelmed. You're going to just be stressed out the whole day long. But when you begin to recognize God is with you, his power is real, his grace sustains you. When you're weak, he carries you in his strength. His strength is made perfect through your weakness. Suddenly, what used to seem like stress now becomes an opportunity to tap into God's power in your life.
It's not about all you have to do. It's about how you think about what you have to do. I love the way Paul unpacks this powerful thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. He says this, and this will be encouraging to you. He says this, "For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does." He's going to use some pretty cool language here. Listen to this. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." In other words, I don't need a gun or a knife. I got spiritual weapons that have spiritual power that I can fight with. He says our weapons aren't normal weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. We fight with prayer. We fight with fasting. We fight with the word of God. We fight with the sword of the Spirit. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the shield of faith. We've got the helmet of salvation. We've got the belt of truth. We've got shoes prepared with the gospel of peace. We don't have normal weapons. Our weapons are powerful. What's a stronghold? Some of you are saying, what's a stronghold? The Greek word that's translated as stronghold is the word akaromo. Akaromo. Here's what it literally means. Imagine a castle with a dungeon in it. It's a prison, and a very literal translation of the word, the Greek word, is that there's a prisoner locked in this dungeon by deception. A prisoner locked in the dungeon by deception. In other words, they're deceived into believing there's no way out. It's a wrong mindset. It's a spiritual trap. Some of you heard the old illustration of the elephant that the circus masters of years ago, when they were training up a new elephant for their show, they would get the elephant when it was tiny, when it was very small, and they'd hook it up to a chain and then drive a stake into the ground, and the chain was too big for that little baby elephant to pull free from. But then as the elephant grew and eventually became an adult male bull elephant, several thousand pounds, that chain would have been absolutely easy for it to snap with just a very easy movement. And yet, there was a stronghold that had developed into the elephant's mind and thinking. Even though the chain was just easy for them to snap, they wouldn't even pull against it because in their mind, by deception, they were being held by a chain that could not hold them. Same thing they talk about trying to catch a monkey, and in other civilizations, they'll take a coconut, cut a hole in it, put something the monkey would really love to have inside the coconut. How many of you have heard this one? And the monkey slips his hand in there, grabs hold of it, but then can't get his hand out. And the coconut is tied to a tree or something, and the monkey will literally stay there until the person comes and puts a net over them and captures them. They're held by their own devices. They could easily let go and be free and escape, but it's deception. That's someone who's believing a lie and is not living their life in the way they could. I know it might be a silly illustration, but I'm telling you, many of you right now, that's exactly where you are. Satan's got you convinced that you can't, or that you won't, or that you never will. He's got you so convinced, you don't have the faith to reach out and grab a hold of what could be yours. Why? Because you're believing a lie. You're being held back by deception. It's a stronghold of the evil one, and the good news is you have divine power. Let me say it again, divine power to break down strongholds. How do we do this? The text goes on to say, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. How do we do this? Look at it, what it says. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. I love the way the New Living Translation puts this. Look at it. So cool. It says this, we capture the rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. You've been doing that? You've been filtering those thoughts in your mind, those things that are trying to hold you captive, those things that are trying to hold you back? Have you been taking them captive? Or are you letting them take you captive? I mean, listen, you can capture it. And here's what you can do. You can say, shut up, rebellious thought. You're going to obey Christ. If you got a critical thought, what do? You capture it. Sit down, you critical thought. I'm going to teach you to obey Christ. You got a negative thought, something that says in your mind, you can't, you never will. You capture it. Capture that rebellious thought and say to it, shut up and sit down. I don't have to be controlled by you. In fact, I'm going to teach you the Word of God. And it's going to transform you. Here's where I need you to work with me this morning. I'm going to give you two questions to ask yourself today. So we bring our time together to an end. The first one is this: what negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? Did you write it down? What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? I'm going to give you some ideas. I want you to write down two or three that, you know, maybe are very real for you. And you can do it now and then kind of work on it later. Here's some. You might think to yourself, you know, I just can't get it all done. I'm not good enough. Some of you ladies might be thinking, I'm not a good enough mom. I mean, she brought homemade cookies. I brought store-bought cookies. Hashtag, I'm a loser. You know? Man, look at him. He's a handyman. And anytime I try to fix something, I destroy it. Hashtag, I'm incompetent. You might be battling with, you know, inconsistency. I'm on again, off again with God. I'm undisciplined. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm always going to struggle with my weight. I'm just not good enough with people. I'm just an average student. Whatever it is, whatever those negative thoughts are, that dialogue that tends to fill your brain, the stuff you're constantly telling yourself again and again because your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And here's the second question I want you to ask yourself. Write this one down, please. What spiritual truth will absolutely demolish those strongholds? What spiritual truth will be the nuclear bomb that explodes that negative thought? Oh, man, and I don't know if you've checked lately, but God's Word is full of awesome promises for God's children. You can absolutely undo those unhelpful, ungodly thoughts if you're a follower of Jesus. Maybe some of you, you know, this might be a little hard for you to get a hold of. Maybe this is where your small group comes in. Sitting around talking about, hey, here's where I struggle, and your small group can say, here's what the God's Word says. Let's start replacing the lie with some truth. And let's start seeing how you start living differently as the truth begins to guide you instead of those old, filthy lies of the enemy. This is what actually is true about you, according to God. So, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, here's our situation, and I'm struggling. I don't have enough. I never seem to. And somebody says, well, Philippians 4:13 says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, I'm just full of worry. Jesus said, do not worry. Give them the promise. So I want to encourage you to, you know, every day, right? Seek first. That's our theme for the year. Every day, seek God first. Every day. What do? We seek Him the first day. We seek God at the very first of our day. We worship God at the very first of our week. We fast at the very first of our year. And we return the very first of our increase back to God through the local church. We put God first, amen? So if you put God first every single day and you spend time with Him and you pray for however long, if you feed on His Word, and then if you will speak aloud what He says is true of you, this discipline I want you to get a hold of today, words to live by can completely change your thinking. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some suggested statements, and then at the end I'm going to give you my statements that I rehearse frequently to fill my mind with God's truth. Listen, I showed you this book, and the reason I did is because the tools of the Titans, the tactics, routines, and habits of billionaires, icons, and world-class performers. One of the common themes through this whole book for every successful person is they have some kind of routine in the morning where they get their mind lined up. I'm not suggesting that you do that. I don't think you need to sit around and go ohm and try to make up, you know, some thoughts, you know, about yourself or whatever. But I'm suggesting that you ground some truth in God's Word and then you daily declare it over yourself. Because here's what I believe: your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul needs to hear your mouth declaring who you are in Christ every day so that you can line your thoughts up with the direction God wants your life to go in, because your strongest thoughts are going to determine the course of your life, whether you like it or not. So, let me just give you a couple of examples here. I think I'm behind here. Maybe you're worried all the time. Well, because of Christ, I'm not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because He cares for me. I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart, ruling my mind. Maybe you're not sure about God's will, so every day you declare, my life belongs to God. Daily I seek Him. Daily He directs my steps. I know His voice because I'm one of His sheep and He leads me into His perfect will. Can you imagine how that's going to frame your day in a different way? Come on, church, give me an amen. I'm preaching better than your amen right now. How about you're lacking confidence? You get up every day and you declare, my confidence is in Christ. And in Christ alone, because His Spirit lives within me, I can do everything He calls me to do. Think if you were declaring that over your life every day. You're inconsistent in your time with God. You know what? This might be tough, but start saying it and it'll become a reality. I love the living and dwelling presence of my good God. Praying is as important to me as breathing. God's word nourishes my soul. I depend on His presence every moment of the day. And guess what? The more you say that, the more that'll become a reality in your life. So, you know, I want to give you just another kind of silly illustration, and then I'm going to share with you some of my declarations. But I studied Spanish in college, but when I started, I wasn't very serious about it, and I didn't study it the way I should have, not knowing at that time that God was going to call me to go to a lot of Hispanic countries. I wish I had that to do over again. But there's something that happens when you begin to learn another language, and those of you who are fluent in another language will understand what I'm saying. This week, Thursday, I had a meeting with two different, the pastor from Colombia and the pastor from Honduras. Between those two meetings, I had a meeting with the pastors from Nepal. So the first meeting, the pastor from Colombia didn't speak really any English. So I found myself, there was a switch that happens in my mind. And if you speak another language, you understand what I'm talking about. Petri would be a good example. He, you know, switches from Finnish to English. At some point when he's talking, even though he probably speaks Finnish back home with his wife, there's a switch when he switches over into English. So here's what happens for me a lot of times is when I first sit down and first try to engage in a conversation with someone who speaks Spanish, because I don't practice it all the time, I don't live in the context all the time. When people speak in Spanish, I'd hear them speak in Spanish, but I would translate it into English in my mind. I would think about the English in my mind I was going to respond with, and then I would try to translate it into Spanish, and then I would try to speak it in Spanish, and quite honestly, it's fairly awkward. It's kind of a stilted process, but somewhere in the conversation, something kind of switches in your brain. When they speak in Spanish, when the switch is flipped, I hear them in Spanish. I think about it in Spanish, and then I respond in Spanish. And when the switch is flipped, something changes on the inside. Here's what happens. Same way when you begin to declare God's word over your life on a daily basis. There's a switch that flips. You might get up and think, you know, I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm inadequate. I'm just a fail. Whoa. Wait a minute. That's not what I'm supposed to be thinking. No, Christ has given me everything I need. With Him, I can do all things. With Him, I can walk in victory. With Him, I can be the man or the woman that He's called me to be. I can fulfill His purpose and plan in my life. I can walk today with peace and joy and happiness because He lives on the inside of me. The more you say it, the more you renew your mind. One day, there's just a switch that flips. That's what's happening in my life. That's why I wanted to share this with you. Nothing changed about the intensity or the challenges of my schedule or my work or any of those things. But what's changed is the way I think about it. And when my thinking changed, it became more consistent with God's truth. It transformed the way I loved, the way I lived, the way I did ministry. So I'm going to share some of mine with you. And it's a little vulnerable, but I love being transparent. I love being authentic and real with you guys as best I possibly can. And maybe you'll see why some of these statements are so important to me. Because at times I felt inadequate. At times I felt overwhelmed. At times I felt like giving up. At times I felt like a failure at both at home and at church. Those are my issues, and you can probably tell where my negative thoughts would go every day, almost every day, if I wasn't careful. But here I say something different to myself now. And I frame the way I think in a very different way. These are my words to live by, and this is what God has been using to change the way I think, and therefore the way I act and the way I feel. Well, this is Pastor Jeff's daily declarations. Here we go. And I know I'm going a little over time. Here we go. Starting first of all, listen, I say to myself, Jesus is my first love, and he's the center of my life, and I exist to serve and glorify him. That's my first declaration. I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the way that God has blessed me and my family in taking care of us. I want to get gratitude in there at the very beginning, because I think gratitude is one of the greatest things that makes us kind of like Teflon to the enemy. Just the enemy's lies just slide off. Number three, I love my wife. She's a blessing from God, and I will lay down my life to serve her, to love her, and to champion her. I just added in champion a couple of days ago, because this is an evergreen document for me. I tweak it, I tune it up, I make it more personal. I want to champion her. She's got a call of God on her life. I want to be the greatest cheerleader in her life, that she fulfills all that God has for her. My children will love God and serve him. See, I'm getting behind on my thing. My children will love God and serve him with their whole hearts. Listen, this is a declaration in faith. I will speak life over them. I will love them unconditionally. I will pray daily for God to move powerfully in their lives. I love people, and I choose to believe the best about others and see the best in them. I will seek to encourage and build others up through my words and actions. I am disciplined to devotion. And I'm self-controlled. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I will let Christ warm my heart with his presence today and fill me afresh with his Holy Spirit's power. I will walk in the Spirit today and not fulfill the desires of my flesh. I'm growing closer to Jesus every day. And because of Christ, my family is closer, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper, my vision is clearer, and my leadership is sharper. I'm anointed, empowered, equipped, and called to reach and disciple people for God. I'm creative, innovative, faithful, focused, fierce, spiritually gifted, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. My words and, I develop ministers and missionaries. That's not something I do. It's who I am. It's what God has placed in me. My words, thoughts, and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive, and I make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. I will listen for and respond to those little promptings of the Holy Spirit today. I believe God for opportunities to share his love with others. I rejoice in the midst of suffering because Christ suffered for me. Even when I don't understand things, I choose to trust God is working all things together for my good and for his glory. The world will be different today and better because I serve Jesus with my whole heart today. I'll bring my best today because God deserves and desires my best. There's Pastor Jeff's daily declarations. Amen. Praise God. Let me just say it, and it's going to sound a little redundant, but I want to drive my point home. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it again and again and again and again and again and again. Did I say again? And again. Until you believe it. Until it begins to frame who you are as a person. Until it begins to direct your path. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am called to make a difference in this world. I do have the mind of Christ. I have the same Spirit living in me that raised Christ from the dead. Listen, that makes all the difference in my life, and I need to remind myself of those things daily. Listen, here's the list, and you've seen these lists before. If you don't have a copy of this in your Bible and are not using this on a regular basis, you need to. Here's what Scripture says about you.
I'm a child of God. I am alive. I'm Christ's ambassador. I'm a masterpiece. I am chosen. I'm a child of God. Oops, got that one in there twice. I'm joyful. I'm gentle. I'm patient. I'm faithful. I'm self-controlled. I'm kind. I am known even before I was born. I am steady. I am loved. I am free. I am healed. I am unashamed. I am strong. I am fearless. And I am secure. And the list actually goes on from there. And you know what? You need to develop from a list like that your list of daily declarations. And you need to say it aloud so that your heart, your spirit, your mind can be transformed daily. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and for you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Listen, if you're here today and the first declaration you need is actually to declare Jesus Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here and you have not received Christ into your life, it will change your life. It'll fill you with peace and joy. It'll make all the difference. And all you need to do is right now, just right where you are in your heart, speak it out to God. He will hear and He will respond. Just say, dear God, I need you. I have messed up. I have failed. I have sinned. I have fell short of your glory and your plan and your purpose for my life. And I want to make you Lord of my life, Jesus. Forgive all my sins. Come in and make me new. If you did that, listen, God heard you and He responded to your cry. For the rest of us here in this place, listen, this might feel a little different for you. This might be a little challenging for you. But if you'll accept it, if you will do it, I think it's God's heart for you. Nothing else is going to change the way you think but getting the Word of God daily in your heart and your mind as it refers to you, as it talks about you. You need to be reminded daily of what God thinks of you. And Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to respond to your word. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come. Would you stand with me for a moment? We're going to sing a song together. I know I've already gone a little late today. Please forgive me. If you need to respond, ministry team, come up quickly, please. We're going to just sing through just a bit of this song, and then I'll come and dismiss us in just a moment. But if you have